How are we gonna be there for our children when they feel that life has just not been that fair?
Good evening and welcome back to Mask's weekly radio show on Family Matters. Mask, Mothers and Fathers Aligned, Saving Kids. Saving kids all ages, all stages, for mental health issues, including addiction. You can call the Mask Helpline. That's confidential from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. to get a referral, whether it's for a therapist, a psychiatrist, an inpatient or outpatient clinic, rehab, rabbi, doctor, therapist, whatever it is that you may be looking for your family, your loved one, your neighbor, your friend, someone you sit next to in shul, maybe you want to jot down our number, 718-758-0400, and you can call anonymous. Feel free to just call us, describe a situation, and we will try very hard to get you to the right person, the right professional. Again, I repeat, professional, so that you get the help that you're looking for your loved one in any mental health issue. And if anyone wants to get a naloxone kit, please call us. We could arrange for you to get a free training and a free kit for naloxone, which is prevention of opioid overdose. So give us a call. Again, 718-758-0400. And tonight we have a co-sponsor for the show, and that's one of the new impressive addiction centers for drugs and alcohol and mental health that I've come in contact with, and that is Ridgeview Recovery, that offers a beautiful rural community atmosphere within a residential setting, a home away from home. It's a one-hour drive only from Los Angeles, California, and Ridgeview has a wonderful staff, seasoned professionals, compassionate. They are very professional and truly care about their patients. And Ridgeview Recovery can be reached at 833-327-3268. And you can ask for David Zackheim. Yep, David Zackheim, the Zackheim family, the Chesed family that we all know so well. David is available to speak to anyone that needs an inpatient rehab called Ridgeview Recovery. Call with your questions. You don't have to be ready to go in. Just call and have a conversation. And Mass does take co-sponsors for our show, like Ridgeview Recovery. So I want to welcome them to Mass's radio show. And my very, very special guest tonight with us, drumroll, Rabbi Yanky Horowitz. Thank you for being on with us tonight.
Rechama, always a pleasure. Hello. It's a pleasure to be on with you, and it's a pleasure to partner on your amazing work. I still remember how many years ago? 20?
20.
When you walked into David Mandel's office advocating for children.
22 years ago, Yanky.
22,
yep.
Is it?
Yep.
Wow. Anyway, your passion and your love for children and your desire to move the needle on things was inspiring then and is now. It's always a pleasure. Anytime.
Thank you.
And by the way, David Zackheim is my eighth grade student.
Oh, wow. That's funny. Wow, and yeah, you didn't even know that we're going to be on tonight.
I didn't know that.
Right. So, Yanky, first of all, it's okay for me to address you as Yanky. I'm sorry,
absolutely.
Rabbi.
No, please.
Okay. So, Yanky, you are the founding dean of Yeshiva Darchei Noam in Muncie. You are the director for the Center of Jewish Family Life. I remember when you started Project Yes, when Mask started. We both started at the same time in the same month, and we both didn't know each other was starting anything.
Yep.
So like you mentioned, I'm going backwards to 22 years ago. What's going on, Yonki? So many things have changed from 22 years ago when we thought it was just the kids doing weed.
And so many things haven't changed.
And so many things haven't changed because now everyone's doing weed. Never.
But, you know, I got to tell you, overall, I think there's been so much progress made on so many of the issues that we talked about then and things that have come up since then. Look, you know, we'll always have challenges, and we should always continue to push forward and in an honest and you know and productive way. But you know, there's been so much progress made on awareness about children and awareness about the need to get professional help and child safety. You know, I did my first parenting classes in Rabbi Reisman's shul that year that you and I started. And the only parents that came to classes then were parents of teenagers who were in complete crisis. Like, you know, it was unheard of for a young couple to learn about parenting. And you know, that's just one example of the way things have improved.
You're right. You are really right.
Advocacy matters. Did you think we'd see a day that yeshivas and shuls would do alcohol-free Purim parties? And
naloxone trainings and shuls.
Yep, exactly.
So you are right, Rabbi. You are right. And like you said, stigma. I mean, Mask, you, your organization, many organizations out there, and, you know, Klal Yisrael are so lucky that unfortunately we are facing some very difficult times with our families. But we're working towards stigma-free, all of us. There's so many wonderful organizations out there that people can call up, not only your organization, not only MASK, but many organizations. And anyone can call MASK. We'll be happy to give them a list. We'll talk to them about what they're going through, and we'll be happy to guide them to the right places.
You know, I was just at a conference, just to build on that, and the what you said about stigma-free. You know, tragically, Nebuch, you know, we have the phenomenon of children taking their lives, God forbid, committing suicide or overdoses. This stuff happened then, too, but, you know, God forbid, if a family had that situation, by and large, they would say it's an aneurysm or something, you know.
Right.
And today you have from Haredi couples, Nebuch dealing with their own tragedy in a more honest way and announcing that the child was suffering from depression and talking about it at Shiva homes. I mean, this never happened, so rarely happened, you know, 2 decades ago. I think that's a step forward to realize that these are all real problems. And I think the parents get some level of comfort from knowing that when they talk about it, to people who are paying Shiva calls and their relatives and friends, that they're helping raise awareness so other children, so today's children shouldn't have to suffer from it.
Absolutely. And I must say that the United Task Force and all their 30-some organizations that are a part of the United Task Force, we just did an event upstate New York, hundreds, I'm talking about 300 or something, women came to listen to Dr. Pelkowitz.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Parents, the message I'd like to leave you today with at the beginning of my show, not at the end of my show only, is that parents, if you can't go out to listen to a speech by Rabbi Horowitz, by Dr. Pelkowitz, by anyone that any of the organizations are offering you information, please go online, find another way that you can listen to what's going on out there so that for prevention And that's what I really want to talk about, Yanky. We need to talk about prevention. Prevention of parents not realizing kids are being bullied, the effects of bullying. Kids have anxiety disorder at a young age. I'm not talking about teenagers. I'm talking about a young age. They have anxiety. We need to be understanding of what can happen if it's not dealt with properly. Sexual abuse. We need to be aware of the threat to our children. And I can go on. Opioid crisis. So let's start. You have a yeshiva. 22 years ago, what you saw, today is different. What are you seeing more in elementary age children that is so much more now and so much clearer in today's world to be able to help than 22 years ago?
Well, I think, you know, I'm not sure that, I don't have any hard numbers. I don't know if anybody does, but my sense is that you know, the with grade school children, I think the things that we're more aware of now is a good thing, meaning that we're aware of, let's say, anxiety, and we're aware of child safety issues and you know, learning disabilities and the need to get educational evaluations and the need to mostly have relationships, open relationships with children. That doesn't mean the problems weren't there. It means that the parents are getting better training, and we're addressing things earlier. You know, I think as far as, I'm not talking now from a school perspective, but to your listeners, you know, parents, I think by far and away the most important thing that you could do, besides getting educated about what's going on, is really to have an open relationship with your children, talk to them every day, get into the habit of spending real time together, because, like, if the children can't come and talk to you about things that are uncomfortable, let's say, like, they're having anxiety or somebody's bullying them or, God forbid, you know, they're being groomed by someone, if they can't talk to you about all of these things which are uncomfortable to talk to you about, then they really, they can't get your guidance. You're not parenting them on the most important parts of their life. So, you know, I encourage parents to think about, especially when they get older, you know, when they go through the tween stage and middle school, to think about what the barriers are. Why would a seventh grader who's having some difficulty or getting into trouble, or their friends are experimenting with smoking or getting whatever the issues are, why would they not come to a parent and just say, you know, mom, dad, abba, ima, whatever, mommy, tati, I got to talk to you. You know, there's some kids that are getting into trouble with substances or other things like that. These guys got e-cigarettes and jewels or whatever. Why would they not come to their parent and just think of them as barriers? So they're not going to come because they're embarrassed. And they're afraid of being punished, and they don't want to upset us, and they don't want to get judged. They're afraid that we're not going to respect their confidentiality if they tell us something. I mean, they think we may not get it, you know. So think about those 5, 6, 7 barriers, and that's what really encourage parents to do, especially when the kids are young. That's really the time to do this. Is to start getting in the habit of talking every day and addressing these issues. And what you do, you know, to set up the type of relationship with the kids where you tell them, if you come and tell me something, we're not going to punish you, we'll just talk about it. And this is something, by the way, Rahma, we used to
I want to bring up your book.
Yeah, yes, yes.
That's what I want to bring up. I want to bring up, you're talking about talking to your children. It's a great, you know, entrance to talking about that unbelievable, wonderful tool that's out there for everyone.
Thank God. We're in over 100,000 homes already.
Wow.
In three languages.
Fantastic. Three languages. I didn't even know that.
We made a year this book. The English.
Right.
The name of the English book is Let's Stay Safe. The Yiddish book is Zagazunt, and we actually made two Hebrew versions, Masha Batuach Batuach for the Haredi community, and Levetach for the Dati Lumi community.
Wow, I didn't see those Hebrew books. That is amazing.
Text me your address. I'll be glad to send.
Okay, but where can my listeners get them?
Okay, so our English book is we partnered together with Art Scroll. We published it with Art Scroll. You can get it at any Judaica store. And the Yiddish and the Hebrew books, you can just go to our website, which is thebrightbeginnings.com, Beginnings with an S at the end, .com, and you can order the books there.
So let's talk. You said the word books, Yanky. Before you continue responding, I just want everyone to know that you came out with amazing books on learning Gemara, right, for little kids, for young kids.
Thank you, yes. And
Gemara,
yeah.
Right? And yep. I just feel it's so important that you bring that up as well, because I'll tell you, so many of our kids that we get phone calls on the Mask Helpline for 22 years is my child is weak academically, and then it turns into something much greater and bigger than
that.
Right. So can we talk about both of you?
And thank you for your interest, of course. We have beginner Chumash books, the idea is really the same for both of them, which is to give the children the skills and the tools to become independent learners. See, what happens is when the children are learning by rote, and they're just repeating the words after the Rebbe, this is particularly in Chumash and Navi, with things that relate to Hebrew. No, so what happens is at the beginning, they're just repeating lots of words by rote, and in first and second grade, they can basically pull it off, and it's a memorization exercise. But they're not getting the skills to do it on their own. So it might, you know, that to teach skills, to teach children prefix and suffix and the root words, the sharashim, the nouns and verbs, that takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of skill and work. It's easier at the beginning to teach by rote, but what happens is when the children are just memorizing words, it just becomes so overwhelming. They can't memorize thousands of words, and they don't need to because, you know, the 93% of all the words in Chumash are 270 sharashim. So if you give the kids the 12 prefix and suffix and you teach them the rule, that's what our Bright Beginnings books do. And Gemara is actually, it's much, much more complicated because it's Aramaic and it's deductive reasoning. And, you know, there are logical flows with different components to it. And as an 8th grade Rebbe, you know, I did this for 15 years, I noticed that a lot of the kids came to my class just without the skills of how to learn Gemara, who these people were, how to navigate around the page. So we created these really fun books. But thank God we're in over 100 schools already in just 4 years, the book, again, you can get to brightbeginnings.com. Israel Bookshops distributes them, we found it, thank God, to be really, really extraordinarily helpful to so many kids.
But what about, I asked some parents if there's something that they would like me to ask you.
Sure.
And a parent said, I mean, many parents, you know, feel the same way, but one said it out loud, and that is, how can we as a community help make sure that our system is more supportive rather than punitive, meaning the schools? Now, I do want to comment that I must say, in the olden days, 22 years ago, yes, there wasn't much happening in the schools in reference to bringing in therapists and programs, but I have to tell you, and everyone listening, today it's totally different. Schools are begging for assistance, begging, pleading for more therapists, more assistance, more programs.
Exactly.
But
my experience as well.
Yeah. So, but there is still the feeling when someone is not doing very well, and a lot of the damage that's been done from years ago or even still now in some schools The kids are suffering, parents are suffering, and what could parents do?
So, that's a great question. So I'll be a little shocker. I'll be a little out of the box, and you know, I think when parents register their children in schools, the schools aren't all the same. I think the teachers in Rebbeim, like you said, they're getting much more training and more support, and they're so good at the game, you know, at their craft. But you know, some schools, either they'll tell you up front, or you can just do a little bit of homework, or look around, or go interview, you know, go kick the tires of the schools you want to send your children to. And some of the schools will tell you that they are what we call Mitzionim schools. You know, they're schools for excellence, and they go at a faster pace, and they'll have less services available for kids who aren't making it. And I honestly really encourage parents to look for schools that are right for your kids and advocate for your children. Get help early on.
And tell the schools the whole story about what your child, where your child's up to.
Right.
Because
right.
They're your partners.
Yep. We had a policy in our yeshiva. We always insisted that we always took every year. I said, we're not picking Esroigim. You know, we're not picking the top, quote-unquote, top kids, whatever that means. I wasn't a top kid, trust me. You know, I was, school was a tremendous struggle for me. But we always told the parents that we need to know everything up front. You know, if parents came and didn't give us the information, you know, it's like you're starting out a relationship without telling them. And the truth is that some schools the schools that will get turned off by discussing, you know, a learning disability or whatever the children have,
they're doing them a favor by
saying they're not going to be supportive later. I'm saying if you go to a child and you say, well, my kid has a little bit of reading problem, and they say, oh, they don't take you because of that, then they're probably not geared to help you,
right.
or their attitude is such that we're teaching to the top third of the class.
Right, but so, I've witnessed so much pain
from
parents, so much pain of kids, even today, still being tossed, not being accepted, and that doesn't mean that the system is all broken, but it does mean that more work still has to be done,
right.
And go to the schools, like you said, that service your kind of child.
And to see that, especially in high schools, I'm begging parents, I'm begging your listeners, please, I'm begging you, if you have a child that's having difficulty with Gemara, please don't put them in a yeshiva that they can learn Gemara 6 hours a day.
Right.
You're setting yourself up for failure. I'm begging you, please. Get an honest assessment. Sometimes it's difficult. You know, we're supposed to be biased about our kids. You know, all the years, I don't remember any parent coming in with a three-year-old to interview and saying, oh, this is an average kid. You know, parents are supposed to feel that their kids are amazing. That's what they're supposed to do. But to get an honest assessment from a teacher, from a Rebbe, a Rebbe from a previous year, to find out how the child is doing, Amora, you know, for in the girls' schools, and send them to a school that learns at a pace that's right for them. It's I know, you know, parents certainly want, everybody wants what's best for the kids, but so often people will try to push their kids into schools that aren't academically aren't a match for
equipped.
Them.
Right.
I'm sorry, right?
Like,
and that's what they're geared in the first place. You know, if you have a kid with ADD, parents call me, well, my kid has ADD and restless, and then I'm thinking of going to this yeshiva. Like, oh, my goodness, are you kidding?
That's what
you know,
right.
I'm sorry?
That I do the same thing on that line.
Yeah, I tell them, if you would have put me in a yeshiva like that, I had a sense, you know, I'm a restless adult. I wouldn't have, you know, I'm saying... There's a lovely Hasidish guy had a school here last summer for Hasidish boys who were in no yeshiva setting. He had about 30 kids here, and I invited them over for a barbecue. My lovely wife Uri made made a whole barbecue for the kids. We had a great time here. And I spoke for a few minutes, and I told the kids, I said, you know, I'm not saying I'm the most successful adult there is, but whatever success in life that I've had, those qualities made me a very poor student. You know, a lot of energy, the ability, you said I did. You did four, three versions of your book, right? You know, you got to have a lot of energy for that stuff. So it's nice when you're 60 years old, it's helpful to have that. But when you're 13 and people are telling you to sit in a seat all day long, that's not going to work. So, you know, I used to tell you, life is longer. If any of you viewers are interested, I made a video speaking to kids who are struggling in school. It's called Life is Longer Than School. You can look it up online on my YouTube channel. Just do Yaakov Horowitz, Life is Longer Than School. I made it like a pep talk to kids who are having difficulty in school.
Wow. I'm going to look it up. I didn't know that.
Life is Longer Than School. You can look at my YouTube channel. We put a few things up there. Are we running out of time?
Right. Yankee, listen, I have a question.
Go.
Before we run out of time, we have two minutes left.
Yes.
And you brought up, you weren't such a great kid in school, you had ADD or whatever your diagnosis you're giving yourself
was. They didn't have ADD. Instead of Ritalin, they gave you a flask.
Right, but Yankee.
Very effective,
Yankee,
yeah.
The truth. I mean, I'd like to have you on next week to continue this conversation, if you're available, because there's so much more I want to talk to you about. But for right now, in a minute or less, I know your parent died very young. You were young. You were in school. I mean, that must have affected also about concentration when children go through any traumas at a very young age. And I'm wondering whether or not you would want to share if you feel that contributes in any way to distraction and, you know, the pain and anxiety, if we can have this
conversation. Yeah, of course it does. Yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, I'll be glad to, you know, we'll check the timing. If not next week, we'll try to do it a different week. I'll be glad. I'm always glad to come on with you. But, you know, look, I think it's important for educators and parents to really understand whatever children are going through and factor that in. Of course, it impacts. It can't help but impact the day. It even impact. You know, we had three children, three mothers in our yeshiva that passed away over a period of 12 years. And I had staff meetings with the Rabbeim afterwards, and I told the Rabbeim that they shouldn't. That if they see students not davening for the next couple of weeks, they should completely leave them alone. Because
right.
they davened so hard for their mother, you know, their friend's
right.
mother.
Right.
You know, all of these
right.
things impact everything, their relationship with God, their ability to study. So it's
right.
all
okay,
all
we're
going to
continue
factors.
This. It's so important that we continue this conversation. And you'll be on next week so that we can continue.
If I can make the time, I'll be delighted to.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you. We're running out of time. So Yasher Koach, everybody, go on, listen to his YouTube channel and get his book. Share it with your loved ones. Sit down and read it to your children and grandchildren. Make the connection. Thank you, Rabbi Yankee.
My greatest pleasure. Keep up
thank
the great
you,
work.
Thank you. And I want to wish everyone a very good evening, a beautiful Shabbos Nachamu, and always remember, hang in, hold on, and hug tight. And just thank you to Ridgeview for their co-sponsorship tonight. Thank you, and have a good night.
Stuttering. This often misunderstood disability affects over 3 million Americans, and despite decades of research, both basic and clinical, the causes are still largely unknown and hard to treat.
Hi, my name is Yitzhak Weiss, founder of Speech Art. I'm a speech coach who for the last 15 years has been specializing in helping speech stutterers. I myself was a stutterer as a child until my late teens. I know firsthand that most stutterers go through years and years of pain. With Hashem's help, I've been able to successfully treat hundreds of people in a relatively short period of time, using methods I have developed over many years. The biggest chesed of helping a stutterer is showing them how easy they can help themselves and not go through a very long and lonely trip.
Please contact Yitzhak Weiss, celebrated speech coach at Speech Art. For a consultation about how you or a loved one who's suffering from stuttering, lisps, and other speech impediments can find relief, call 929-444-3130. That's 929-444-3130.